Jordans. Some of us probably own them. People in Chicago were killing one another to get a pair of Air Jordans. We idolize. We do the same thing with teams, don't we? Tom, do you remember the slogan for the Canucks? What's the sort of marketing slogan around Vancouver for the Canucks? Anybody know?
We are all Canucks.
We are all Canucks.
I understand Dan Bennett named his son after Michael.
Is that what it was, after Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
That's what he did. They idolized him a little bit. But you know, with the Canucks stuff, we put our identity in teams. We are all Canucks. There's the marketing strategy. So what happens is when we begin to find our identity in something like that, we've exchanged. We've flipped something upside down. You know, when we look at a number of teams, we just see the incredible sense of what happens. Like, when you look at various Canadian cities and when their team loses, the mood of the people in that city the next day. It changes. Friends, these are all mirrors that we need to hold up in front of us. And some of you are saying, well, okay, sports isn't my deal. But look what happens when it's music or when it's entertainment. There are other illustrations for that. We put too much in that. What we find fulfillment in, we also tend to worship. So when we end up exchanging worshiping God for worshiping Michael Jordan, we begin to realize that these heroes, these idols that we create are also fallible. They fall. They have problems at least as much as we do in our lives. Jordan, all kinds of gambling issues, as well as getting mixed up with the wrong crowd and seeing his family hurt as a result, as well as all kinds of marriage issues. They're mortal, just like we are, meaning they're searching for that sense of fulfillment just the same as we are. I remember when I was chaplain for the Grizzlies, remember one day that I was going into chapel and there were three or four of the Grizzlies that were there. Remember that basketball team that used to play in Vancouver? And I went into the locker room and chapel, and both teams would come together. So there were three or four of the Grizzlies. In this game, they were playing Philadelphia. And so three or four of the 76ers, and they came together and we were having chapel. And I was beginning to talk about that which brought fulfillment in our lives. Telling the players that, you know what, your careers might be short, you could get hurt, you could all these things, so your fulfillment better be found in something else. Just then, one of the players from the 76ers burst into the room and said, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late. His name was Scott Williams. He played on the Bulls for 3 years before being traded. And I saw an opportunity, and I said to Scott, I said, Scott, you've played with Michael Jordan and the Bulls for the last 3 years. You've won championships. Tell us what that was like. And so he said, well, you know, that first year we were playing, boy, it was euphoric because we were trying so hard and we were getting there and finally we won the championship. And he said, that was the most amazing experience of my life. And he said, it was just wonderful. I said, how long did it last? He said, about a month. And I said, well, then what happened after that? He said, well, we had to go back to practice and get ready for the next season. How was the next season? Well, the next season we tried hard and trained hard and we worked at it and we won the championship again. I said, oh, how was that? He said, well, it was great. How long did it last? 2 weeks. He said, so first year, 4 weeks. Second year, 2 weeks. I said, what happened the third year? Well, we won again. How long did that last? A week. I was about to go back into the text and keep teaching my Bible study and Scott said, can I say one more thing? Yeah. He said, but 6 months ago I met Jesus. He says, it hasn't died down yet, and I don't expect it will. And you know what I did with the rest of my Bible study at that point, right? Close it up, there's nothing more to be said. You know, we exchange the joy of playing this game or lifting up somebody like Michael Jordan so we can win championships, and it provides something. It's a broken cistern. It provides it for a while, but it leaks out. And what Scott said and what the text says is that, no, when we end up worshiping him, that fulfillment continues. We worship superstars. We pay them more money than, well, it's sick, really, to be honest. We attribute words to them. We give them glory where glory is due only to God. Well, let me come towards a close. And here's the third category. It's not just that we find it in what we play or what we watch, but this third one hits a little close to home for some of us, me included, or me first. See, sometimes we look for our fulfillment not just in our playing or somebody else's playing, but actually we make idols of our kids. when we see or put them into certain sports. Is it wrong for our kids to play sports? No, don't hear me saying that. It's not. Until it becomes the center and everything else is oriented around that. And then we come back to the text and we hear God say, we hear Jeremiah say, come on guys, give your head a shake. I think there's nothing more discouraging than watching certain parents on the sidelines of some of our sports activities. You've seen it. It's not us. I know it's not us. But you see a mom or a dad lose it at the ref because their son has been tripped up or done something. You see it when parents are seeking their own fulfillment through their kids because they failed to find it in their own life. Friends, that's a scary thing in our culture. Where we find our identity or our value when little Johnny does really well on the soccer pitch or in the ice rink or wherever it might be, or little Nancy in gymnastics, that somehow it's like, okay, that's my kid. Yeah. Right? And somehow our identity gets wrapped up in the life of our kids. We live vicariously through them. How do we know if we're doing this? Well, remember, when we seek fulfillment or identity or value in something else, we run the risk of making it an idol. And when we seek it in something else, we flip things upside down and we end up worshiping that which we seek fulfillment in. So is it possible that we actually might be worshiping our kids or worshiping our kids involved in a sport? I said this in Robson Park. I think it'll mean even more to you guys here in D.C. with Forest Grove also. One of the ways that I have admired and been challenged by the Bennetts over the years is to watch what they did with their kids when it came to sports. And sports was such a focal point for Shelley and I, and so much a part of our identity, that when Dan and Sherry made a decision that their kids would only be involved in one sport at a time, there was a part of me that thought, that's crazy. Like, why? If the kid's good, why don't you let them play? But I watched the pace of life that the Bennetts lived, and I went, nope. They got it right. And not that you can't have your kid in more than one, but I watched other families where they charge around all over the place. I know one family that they literally, from 3 o'clock when they pick the kids up to about 7:30 at night, they're taxiing their kids from one thing to another. 3 kids, and they're just involved nonstop. And you begin to look in the mirror and you say, what is your life oriented around? What are you worshiping? The pace of our life is crazy. The amount of money that we spend on sports. We have friends that spent $10,000 last summer in their boys playing baseball. Why? You know why we do that now? We spend all kinds of money on sports so that, here's our thinking. Because universities are so expensive, if we can get our kid to be good enough that they can get a university scholarship, then we won't have to pay there. So we'll pay now to get them in the elite status now so that we don't pay later. We throw all kinds of money in. Sometimes the kids don't even want to do it. We have our kids there so that we fulfill something in us rather than just the kids having. The pace of our lives, the amount of money that we spend, the schedules that we keep. Friend, it's not hard to see that we are in grave danger of doing what Jeremiah said. We have exchanged God's glory for something else. We have exchanged coming to this source, this fountain of living water, and instead dug cisterns, broken pots that we try to catch something that will give us fulfillment, value, and identity. We worship the created instead of the creator. You get the idea, we need to quit. God is a revealing God. He is one who desires for us to know Him and for us to be drawn into relationship with Him, where our identity, our value, and our fulfillment come in Him. And when we try and substitute something else for it, we're in danger. We make idols. And God, in providing fulfillment, identity, and value for us, is the one, the only one, who needs to be worshipped. He says, I am the God who is the Redeemer. I am the one who brings life to you. I am the one who frees you. Not Michael Jordan, not all kinds of sports, not movie stars, not entertainment, none of that stuff. And when we put all of our eggs in that basket, we end up worshiping, centering our lives around, putting our deepest affections in, well, all kinds of things that are really good. And we fall short. His invitation is that we would come and know Him. His invitation is that we would come and embrace Him and celebrate the fact that He redeems us, frees us from all that enslaves us. Let's pray before we close together in song. You are good all the time. You are gentle, but you are jealous. You are filled with imagination and give us all good things. But in the right way, and at the right time, and in the right measure. And Lord, we are gluttons, and today we're not talking about our body shapes and about what we put in our mouths. Today we're talking about the way in which we take the good things of sports or movies or music. Because we want more, we exchange your glory. We exchange the source for a shell. We chase after these things, never being satisfied. Oh Lord, would you forgive us for the idols that we have made, whether it's participating, watching, or, you know, encouraging our kids. Would you forgive us for the idols that we've made of sport? Would you help us to instead reorient all of our lives around you? For then we are free and then we are full. And in the midst of that, then we have the freedom to go and to enjoy and to put sport and music and movies in its rightful place. They're pointers to you, but they're never an end. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's affirm that prayer as we stand and offer the Lord a life worshiping Him this week.